The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome in. We've reached Tuesday, and there is a lot to discuss today. Thanks so much for making time. Let's get right to it with some news, and then we'll have the guests here to talk about it. Brian Branch, he expected to be a first rounder. Speaking the obvious here, if a team doesn't pick Bryce Young, they're stupid. Don't forget, tomorrow, Mr. Branch will join us. We'll ask him if he thinks anybody else is stupid, other than the host of the program interviewing him. Meanwhile, how about this? This just happened. Tyle Buchner. Or is it Buchner? Or do we really know? We might have to, though. He has entered the transfer portal. Alabama looms as the most logical option because of Bama's needs and, ready for this, his ties to Bama OC Tommy Reese. He was the starter last year, got hurt, shoulder injury, came back late in the year and helped lead the Irish to a bowl victory over South Carolina. We'll talk more about that later on. But the Alabama conundrum continues to be on everyone's mind in the aftermath of Saturday. And Blake Topmeyer has plenty to add, we hope, about what happened Saturday and what could be happening in the future. Blake, thanks so much for joining us from the USA Today Networks. You certainly wrote about the spring game. You observed it. Thanks for being here. What did you make out of it, and where is Alabama right now as we get ready for the next season?
Yeah, I think they're in the place where a lot of us thought they would be. They're a work in progress on offense. If you've been listening to Nick Saban throughout the spring, I think this should come as no surprise to you. What he's been saying was illustrated on Saturday is that Alabama's top two quarterbacks, Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson, throughout the spring have done some good, done some bad, and not developed enough consistency. You know, we heard Saban say after the spring game that he's looking for guys who can play winning football. And, you know, we've talked throughout the offseason about Alabama under Tommy Reese maybe going more to old school bully ball type Alabama, where they lean on their offensive line, they lean on their running game, that type of thing. But, you know, the element that's often left out when we talk about vintage Alabama and Alabama getting back to the early days of the Saban dynasty is they had efficient, dependable quarterbacks who steered their offenses away from mistakes and made plays in the clutch. Guys like Greg McElroy, A.J. McCarron. It's not like they were just turning around and handing the ball off all game, although they did do that pretty well. These were efficient quarterbacks. They did not throw a lot of interceptions. And we saw Saturday, Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson combined to throw interceptions on back-to-back plays. Those are the types of mistakes that whoever wins this job has to reduce if Alabama is truly going to get back to this vintage style.
Blake, when you consider that Bryce Young was a starter for 2 years and even we thought had a shot at it in the COVID year when Mac Jones led Alabama to national championships, how did Alabama find themselves in a situation that they really didn't have a guy who ended up being able to take the job over? I realize these are all heavily recruited players, but what happened?
Well, I think in the recruiting experts would probably be able to speak to this a little better than I, Paul, but I think the year that Jalen Milroe signed was maybe not the strongest recruiting class for quarterbacks. I also think that, you know, we're in a transfer era right now where we see a lot of programs thriving with, you know, guys they pluck out of the portal. Well, when Bryce Young's looming in your program for 2 years, you are not a desirable landing spot. I don't care what the name is on the front of your jersey. When you know Bryce Young's going to be the starter, Alabama does not become a desirable landing spot for transfers. We also know that although Nick Saban has continually evolved throughout his tenure at Alabama, one thing he's not done is hand the reins, you know, to a transfer quarterback here. And that, I suppose, is the decision facing him now. Although I think coming out of Saturday, despite Jalen Milroe's inconsistencies in that spring game, his inconsistencies in the spring, he did show some of his athletic upside. He was the fastest guy on the field during a 35-yard touchdown run. He showed off his big arm at times. And I think there's this belief that Alabama all of a sudden is going to just dive into the transfer portal and solve all their question marks in their quarterback competition. I'm a little skeptical of that. I think the best transfer talent we're going to see here entered the portal in the winter. You're going to have some guys pop in the next week, but a lot of the guys going in there are going to be guys who were backups who did not win starting jobs at their previous institutions. And I question whether some of those candidates are any more of an upgrade over what's in that program, you know, headlined by Jalen Milroe, unpolished though he may be.
That's an excellent point. These are not we're not talking about Saks Fifth Avenue here in terms of quarterback prospects, more like discount stores. Let's talk about Tennessee. And you had a very hilarious article the other day about imagining if we could get inside that room with Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt and others. We couldn't get in that room. But Blake, what have you heard since the meetings last week in Cincinnati about where Tennessee stands?
Yeah, it was a two-day meeting in which Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee officials had a chance to meet those charges stemming from that years-long investigation that's led to 18 Level 1 allegations, most of which are assigned to Pruitt or his former staff members. But there's also the one Level 1 failure to monitor charge that Tennessee is facing and that it had a chance to make its case against in Cincinnati. I think with Jeremy Pruitt, the situation remains unchanged. I don't know that that anything that happened across those 2 days, those 20 hours of meetings, really alters his fate, which is that he faces the likelihood of a show cause penalty coming out of this. I mean, I think, you know, shy of being able to pull a rabbit out of his hat in those meetings, the evidence, you know, that the NCAA has compiled and laid out against him, I think the deck is stacked against Jeremy Pruitt. And of course, you know, one of the things about having the exemplary cooperation of the institution, Tennessee in this case, is, you know, I think it makes it even more difficult for a coach facing these charges when the NCAA and the institution are aligned in a desire, I think, to show malfeasance against the former coach. And I don't think Jeremy Pruitt did himself any favors. The bigger question for me, and I think this is the one that remains unanswered, really, is what comes from Tennessee here? You know, I think they're really trying to thread this needle of tossing out the bad actors, cooperating with the NCAA, and hoping that the NCAA enforcement moves into a new era where institutions are not punished in the same way they used to be, maybe with postseason bans, with crippling scholarship reductions and the like. We know the NCAA constitution has indicated that such penalties that punish current athletes not involved in past violations, that such penalties will become more unlikely in the future. But this is really a guinea pig case. There's not really much on paper to say whether that new constitution really is going to hold up, right? I mean, the people that sit on the NCAA Committee on Infractions, they didn't write this constitution necessarily. So, you know, they are a jury of their own opinions. And the fact remains that Tennessee's own chancellor, Dondi Plowman, labeled this a, quote, stunning amount of malfeasance. Now, it's been pinned on the bad actors, but that doesn't change the fact that Tennessee still faces that level one failure to monitor charge. And with this amount of allegations, you do have to question, how did this all go on for so long before Tennessee wisened up to the situation?
Could be one reason why Phil Fulmer's on the sidelines. Blake, before you go, we're about to enter, I think, our third season that Jeremy Pruitt has been on the sidelines. And I don't know who's representing him and what the mindset is. And maybe he's completely innocent. Maybe he was never there when any of this occurred. But it seems like he's wasting an awful lot of time when maybe at some point in time he could have figured out a deal to end all this sooner. And he might be that much closer to coaching again. Can you help figure all that out for us?
Well, I think the problem is the deal is going to be not very appealing when you're facing this many level one violations.
Fair point.
You know? I don't think you're getting a real great plea deal in this situation when you've been kind of cast as the central figure in this whole scandal. And we have seen two of his former assistants and Brian Niedermeyer and Shelton Felton. They reached those front end resolutions for show cause penalties, but those were show cause penalties of multiple years. That's not a real appealing outcome to someone in Jeremy Pruitt's case, whose top earning potential, whose top career potential really resides in college football. And if he were somehow able to wriggle out of these penalties, I think his career could quickly resume in college football. Those other guys I mentioned, those former assistants, they're coaching in the high school ranks right now, and their college careers are probably over. If Jeremy Pruitt could somehow wriggle out of this, I don't think his college career would be over. I think he would be desirable on certain coaching staffs, including perhaps one we were discussing earlier. But that only happens realistically if he can wriggle out of this show cause situation. I don't think reaching a front-end resolution would have resulted in anything other than a multiple-year show cause ban, which I think for Jeremy Pruitt was just a non-starter. And so he was left having to argue his case, weak though it may have been.
There are plenty of cliches I could offer in terms of what his choices were. None good. Appreciate your time, Blake. As always, great to talk to Blake Topmeyer as we begin the program here on a Tuesday afternoon. We have more guests. We're only in the first few minutes of the program. Sue Jackson will join us. He's a new commissioner out west. We'll also have a couple of other folks drop by, David Ubben. And we will come back with more of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So a lot of speculation out there about Buckner, and we will watch that story. I think if it happens, it will happen quickly. This is not, I realize the portal is only open until Sunday, but this is, you don't go in the portal from Notre Dame if you don't have designs. And I would think a visit with the Alabama staff and his former coach, and he'll know quickly whether he is going to make that move or not. Matthew is up next in Texas. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Paul. How are you today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
You're good. Hey, did you get my Easter card this year from the McCurleys?
I think we did. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. Hey, so I've got an idea, and I'd like for you to hear me out. It seems like the perspective on Alabama here, and especially your guests, it kind of reminds me of a marriage. Like Rodick yesterday kind of basically said that, this thing's over. Like, I mean, if you read into what he was saying, he just did not sound that thoroughly excited about Alabama football this year at all. And then you go to Topmeyer today, and he's just kind of trying to paint a good picture. We're going back to the good old days. We're going to put the rabbit back in the hat. We're going to get vintage Alabama football. Milrow could do it. It's like you're trying to hang on. And, those vintage Alabama teams were amazing, especially with the defense. But it just seems like I'm asking myself, well, if it was that great, why did they switch with Kiffin to this offense? And now why are they trying to go back? It seems like they're almost lost their true identity. And it seems like things are getting really out of control there. So my question is, do you personally really believe that there is a blueprint for Tommy Rees, Kevin Steele and company to come back? Or do you think it's going to get pretty dangerous pretty fast?
Well, again, thanks, Matthew, for everything. We're talking about Alabama here. So for any other program outside of maybe one, I don't think Alabama coaches would be remotely concerned about where they are. But I think there is some concern about the quarterback position, and there has to be. Now, can you do all the things you want to do with an average quarterback? Of course you can. We've seen that at Alabama. We've seen that at Georgia. And Stetson Bennett just happened to be a big game player. He played at a level that nobody saw. And to me, a quarterback that you don't completely believe in is somebody that can do you harm, lose you a game. You're not supposed to. And Alabama has had quarterbacks in the last 10 years who have won them those games, not lost them those games. Let's check next with Dale in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so a couple quick comments. Hey, Paul, I think Saban's butthole may just have unpuckered a little bit because he may be getting a quarterback from the portal. And, Paul, did you see how small the Colorado players looked in their spring game? Their opponents are going to be charged with child abuse.
Well, but Dale, don't read anything into that because every hour another Colorado player gets shown the door. So, I mean, I think 19 players are in the portal. What does that tell me? That Deion Sanders has gently or man, not so gently told these guys to get lost.
I know, man. They look small, Paul. I don't know if you've seen the game or not.
Yeah, I saw some of it. I didn't like playing a party around it, but I did see it, some of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, man. Their offensive linemen probably weighed 200 pounds.
Well, that's why, I mean, Deion is great. He's brought a lot of excitement to college football, but anyone who believes that they're a factor in the Pac-12 doesn't understand anything about the game. Matt is in Texas.
Hey, brother, how you doing? Let me stop my chest as I can with you. Paul, the way accident show screaming and yelling, I'm not trying to apologize. I need to be honest with you, Paul. I just need a counselor right now because with my brain disability and the fact that I've always kept things buried inside me, I have difficulty controlling my emotions. And I just don't know how to do that, but I'm trying. I can't tell you I'm going to be that same person that calls him like that.
Hey, Matt.
But I'm not going to be like that.
Let me quickly. You don't owe us an apology. We appreciate you. Everyone that calls in the show, almost everyone has a problem with their emotions. That's why this is what it is. So don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about us.
Okay. I got a prediction I want to talk to you about, Paul. A&M is going to beat Alabama and College Station this year. I saw that spring game. The quarterback was pathetic. So-called great offensive coordinator Tommy Rees, he is. He hasn't proven a dang thing in the SEC. His quarterbacks are pathetic. Our quarterbacks look better this year. I want to ask you a question on that. And I got a song for you, Paul. Talks about your university, UNC Tennessee, how bad they hate Alabama. I'm a best for Alabama fans. If we don't go 6 losses this year and you have 3, you have to wear an Aggie shirt and hat next time an SEC media day can go gig him. Yeah.
JR is up next. Hello, JR.
Hello, Paul. I hope you're having a good day.
Thank you.
I've just got a couple of questions I want to ask. I was confused because Oklahoma is taking off of Georgia's schedule because they're going to be in the SEC next year. But Texas is still on Alabama's schedule.
Yeah,
can you throw any light on that?
I'll try to, yeah. Well, that was a two-game set where Alabama played there last year, plays in Alabama this year. The Oklahoma series started this year, so the second part of the game couldn't be held, so therefore it didn't qualify. It didn't get in under the gun.
Okay, I understand that. Okay. One thing I got a kick out of when I finally when I looked it up, I graduated in your class at Tennessee.
Oh, really? What? I'm sorry we missed. What were you studying up there when you were there?
Oh, well, I was studying biology.
Oh, well, then there's no way we would have ever seen each other. You were a serious student.
I don't know about a serious student, but that's what I was in. But
I was studying being a college student.
Okay. Well,
that's how
I appreciate
we turned out.
That.
So what did you do with your biology degree?
Believe it or not, chemistry.
Well,
I never did use biology.
Okay.
There's a lot of lab work in the chemistry field.
Yeah, well, I applaud you. My wife was a chemistry major, too, in college. So now I know two smart people. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. I'm sorry we missed each other. Keith is up next in Florida. Hello, Keith. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Very
I was
well.
Just wondering about all this hype about Anthony Richardson being such an athletic, good quarterback. When I just watched a rerun of Florida and Kentucky last night, which I'm a Florida fan, but Anthony pretty much lost that whole game right there. He was overthrowing his receivers, throwing it in the dirt. I didn't hardly see anything that he did good, and they act like he's the gift of football. And I believe
Keith,
that
his rating is built entirely on his athletic ability and his potential. No, I agree. Nobody has seen that much out of him, but coaches rave about him. Mullen raved about him. Others have said that they've never seen an athlete like that, and the NFL is excited by that. I agree. He would not be high on my list if I absolutely had to have a quarterback. We are heading to a break. We're back with much more, your phone calls included, more guests, and we're back with more after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So more on Buckner. He's officially in the portal now. And this is the most interesting part. There's a marker on the entry. It's like a do not disturb. Like, don't bother me. I know where I'm going. Where he's going is believed to be Alabama. That according to several reports. This is one that we will know quickly. So Nick Saban said the other day he liked what he had. Tomorrow he'll say he likes what he has. Let's continue. Greg in Mississippi, you're on the air. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Appreciate taking the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Rick called in right there at the end of the show yesterday evening and was asking about Mississippi State and Coach Lemonis. And I think he was too busy looking at the TV screen to watch, see his name pop up and get the question across where you can answer. But just, yes, sir, just to kind of recap over people maybe not follow as close as we do, but I guess since this, we won our natty in 21, Coach Lamont's the following year. I don't know, like you have to really, I don't know if we have the hammer down and, you know, keep everybody hungry. Things seem like we took a victory lap the whole season long. And as you know, then we know that we finished bottom in the league. I don't know. There's a disconnect somewhere there here in Mississippi and Coach Lamont. I don't know what it could be, as Mr. Paul. You got all the accommodations, the stadium, the fans. We almost had 50,000 there for that series against Auburn. But for lack of better words, I don't know. It's just his first recruiting class. He lost, I think, out of 12 players, we lost 10 of them transferred the first 3-4 months in the system. But it's gotten bad, and it seems like it's getting worse. I called you last week, and we talked about we're back on track with the winning the series against Ole Miss at home. But we go to Auburn and score 27 runs. We can't get nobody out. We lose that series. So it's just been it's very disappointing as a Bulldog fan, a faithful Bulldog fan for over 55 years. But for one thing long, state band that with the primary sport there, I don't think we won't put up with it long. I promise you that. But anyway, like I said, I'm just kind of responding to Rick's call, and just want to let you know, it'll get fixed one way or another, brother.
Greg, I think you're right about that. I don't know enough to add anything to what you said. You win a national championship that usually buys you some time, but the standard at Mississippi State is the top. That is one of the best baseball fan bases in the country, but one that naturally expects and demands perfection. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Peggy is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Peggy.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
Very well, Peggy.
Hey, it's pretty cold out here in Tennessee. The sun's been out a little bit today, but it's still, you know, whatever kind of winter it is, it feels pretty chill.
Yeah, no, I feel we have the same weather here. I keep looking at the calendar going, when is it going to get warm?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 80. It was about 80 here last week. No kidding. You know, it ready to lay out in the sun or whatnot. I was just listening to some of Monday's, and then I was hearing today, and I wanted to, if it's okay, I wanted to send some get well wishes out to Mr. Larry. He's kind of special dude. I'm just now kind of getting to sort these fellas out a little bit. But I'll tell you why he's kind of special to me, because if I'm not mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, is he not the one that served in Vietnam?
Yeah, Larry served in the late 60s, I think, early 70s.
Okay, well, I had an uncle that volunteered. He dropped out of high school and went in at 17 and reenlisted at 19. Mm-hmm. His name was Lynn McKinley Jenkins, and when he reenlisted, he didn't make it back home, and I was in the third grade, and I can remember every detail about this young man. I mean, he kind of shaped who I am. You know, I can remember everything about him, and so anytime I hear anybody that, you know, talks about their service, because my Uncle Lynn, some of the men he served with, Mom said one was from Kentucky and one was from Georgia, come to her house and visit her and her sisters and my ghost star grandmother every year until one of them passed.
Well, and Peggy, so that's a story that a lot of other people can relate to. Hey, thank you very, very much for sharing that. You take care of yourself. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Again, I'm so fortunate to get behind Miss Peggy in a hot parking lot where in my therapy self lady and Elizabeth, but anyway, I got a message for you, and that's all. You have to decode it. I came from somebody. I guess he knows you. I don't know, but he said, "Tell Feinbaum, Blade said," and I can't tell you what he said on. Do you know a Blade? BLADE, Blade.
Well, it's hard to. I mean, if you told me what he said, I might be able to decode it better.
It's got something to do with Milrow not being good enough at quarterback.
Oh, okay. I do know who Blade is. Yeah, you got it. I'm good.
Well, Blade's a heck of a guy. He's a
this
funny
is, by
guy.
By the way, this is not the way the CIA works. But this
let me tell you one more thing, Paul. And I don't know. I'm telling you, he looked me in the eye 20 minutes ago. He said, Paul loves you. I said, are you sure you got the Paul, the right Paul?
You just confirmed it. This Blade knows exactly what he's correct.
Okay, Paul.
You need to listen to other people now and then.
You know what he told me? He said, don't listen to that lawyer that sent you to so-and-so. He said, if you want a good steak, listen to a steak specialist, but don't listen to a lawyer when he tells you about anything but law.
100% correct. 100%. Jim, thanks for the decoded message.
Okay, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Was this how we won the Cold War? Was this how Reagan tore down that wall? Yeah, Jim getting messages from Blade in the parking lot of the Piggly Wiggly in Tuscaloosa. Let's go international here. AC above the border. What's up?
Good afternoon, Mr. Flying Bomb. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Sir, I always get excited 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I don't know if my excitement kicks in 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Because I come down to 3 p.m., I'll be listening to Mr. Paul Flying Bomb. I'm not listening. Matter of fact, I'll be calling in 3 to 7, I got some time. You know, I'm going to call in every single day, 5 days a week, like a 24/7. Mr. Feinbaum, next week, dear sir, whoever gets selected number one and number two in the draft, you should interview them. Hey, it's great TV. If you have Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, garbage, idiots, whoever they are, I don't know. I don't know who's going to get drafted. You should have them. It's going to be a great thing. And you can top it off with my man, Mike Griffin of the Dog Nation. He's going to be barking, ruff, ruff.
Okay, why don't we do this? Because I don't know what he said, and the translation app is faulty right now. We will take a break. More of your phone calls, more guests after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Rita is up next. Hello, Rita.
Hi. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, the Saints have been struggling with not having a great quarterback ever since Drew Brees left. And I was just wondering what you thought about our new quarterback, Derek Carr, as opposed to us going for a quarterback, a fresh young quarterback, with the draft coming up.
Where does New Orleans select? How far down are they? They shouldn't be that far. I don't know.
Well, I don't know our exact numbers.
I would
tell you the truth.
I would look for a quarterback. That would be my advice to the Saints, if they're asking, because I don't think they have a good quarterback. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Paul in Indiana. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul. I'll get right into it. My team, particularly a basketball team, has been devastated with this portal. In fact, 7 players now have decided to leave. I'm guessing you may know who this team is. But I, as a fan, am just trying to figure out, you know, how much nil money is being given to these kids that they would make such a decision. I mean, it seems like at the end of the year this year, everything was firing on all cylinders and the team was doing great and there was a lot of optimism going into next year. And then just one after another, one kid out, and we're talking starters here.
Where are they going? Where are they going?
Well, one's going to South Carolina, one's going to LSU, the other one's to be determined. I mean, you could probably put it together. Do you know the team yet?
I've got an idea, but I don't want to impugn somebody's great reputation.
Yeah, me either. It's just that I'm just, as a fan, I feel like the rug's been pulled out from underneath me and my wife. And because you get behind these teams, you know, you get invested in them. And my question is, where can I find the information that would indicate, you know, how much these kids are leaving for?
Well, you're not going to find that, Paul. And I mean, there are certain things that the universities have to document, but there are ways of getting around that. And the portal is the most nefarious because I had it explained to me today. In the portal, doesn't matter what sport, you have a middleman, you have agents, they all get cuts. How they get cuts, I couldn't tell you, but I know they do. And it's not like a direct-to-consumer payment because NIL has to be accounted for in certain respects, but there's a lot under the table here. And it's self-explanatory. You're not just leaving to go somewhere else because you are unhappy with your playing time. You are leaving because somebody is offering you something.
So are you saying that there's actually other people that are profiting between, say, the player and the institution?
I believe there is, and I don't have that's a belief. That is not a fact.
Yeah, I, as a fan, am just really saddened by the whole thing. I mean, it's just our complete team will be different next year. And to some extent, that would be great if it's due to graduation. But in this case, I mean, these are players that were improving throughout the program, making the program a better place. And it seems like there's no even value in the education anymore.
Paul, because there isn't. I don't know how to describe it any other way. It's others have already beaten me to it in relation to the Wild Wild West. Thank you very much for the call, but you're zeroing in on a serious problem that is not very easily fixable. Terry Lynn is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Terry Lynn.
Hey, Paul, how y'all doing today?
We are fine, thank you.
Right out the box, I want to say I am Team Squirrel all the way. So, yeah, I don't know. Jim, I can't understand what Jim says a lot of times because he's so upset when he calls in. And I know what that's like because you get upset when people start casting, saying things, but I don't know. But anyways, I'd like to address this Dumbo down there in A&M with Petrino. Now, Petrino got hired out of, you know, I'm going to defend Petrino, and I'm one of the few women that's going to defend him, I reckon, given his reputation. But we all breathed a sigh of relief when he went to Las Vegas because we figured, well, good, he ain't coming back to the SEC, and then he got a U-turn on us and come down there to A&M. And he's going to be successful at A&M as long as they let Bobby be Bobby, and everybody knows that. But I think it's going to work out, but I don't see that he's got any talent to work with down there because, hell, we almost beat him last season. You know what I'm talking about? We had that dang little extra field goal, and our field goal kicker's a great little field goal kicker, but we had that crazy ball go south. I mean, I just don't know where A&M comes off thinking they're all that in a bag of chips when they didn't do nothing last year. And now they think because they got the offensive genius of this century that they're going to win. But, you know, Petrino, that, you know, and I get tired of them NFL people. Well, he did the NFL wrong, and look how he did them players. Them players hated his guts and talked crap about him, and then he left, and then they bitched at him for leaving. I mean, make up your mind, you grown-ass man. Quit whining. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Terry, I think you're right. It was just that was more a media deal.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there.
Well, I understand that. And everybody knows that Jerry Jones is the one that made that
hire. Let me ask you whether you know Bobby or not. Do you know him?
Yeah, I've met him several times, and okay. I consider him to be I know a lot about him. I've met him backstage a couple of times, and I've got a great picture of him and Coach Stallings right. Talking that I took when Coach Stallings was giving him what we call old man advice. So, yeah, I'll defend Petrino.
What is old man advice? What does that mean?
Well, it just means, you know, you're a little bit older and you've been around a little bit, and you could tell he was really listening.
Too bad Coach Stallings didn't give him that advice before.
Hey, I was in favor of him being fired because you know something. That you ain't gonna put my. There ain't nothing bigger than the A. There ain't no man, no person bigger than the A.
So you didn't like what he was doing on the Harley?
Oh no, no, I didn't like what that. I didn't like what either one of them was doing, and I didn't like my fiance up there getting flirted with to renew his season tickets either.
Was that a billy goat there, or was that our caller? I'm not sure. We will take a break. We've already had Blake Topmeyer on. We'll talk to David Ubben later on. We have a new commissioner on talking about where smaller conferences fit into the new ecosystem of intercollegiate athletics. I got that out with a straight face. And your phone calls as well. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.